It's now time for Sports Saturday.
Are you serious, really?
On 101.3, The Game.
I know football.
Sports Saturday is powered in part by Green City Garage, an environmentally responsible garage in South Burlington, working on all makes and models and specializing in your family's car, truck, or SUV. Vermont Engine Service, an engine and machine shop, 16 Krupp Drive in Williston. Vermont Mortgage Company, mortgage expertise dedicated to Vermonters. See how easy obtaining a mortgage can be. And Romanto's Pizza, delivering to a 10-mile radius of their Taft Corners, Williston location. This is Sports Saturday.
Yet another missed tackle.
Living the dream and taking you with us. 101.3, The Game.
Oh, we are living that dream and taking you with us. It's Sports Saturday here on 101.3 The Game and 101.3thegame.com. 802-655-6672 is the number to call if you want to join our conversation today. 802-655-6672. Or you can text us on the Town Fair Tire text line at the exact same number. 802-655-6672. This microphone is horrible. I don't think it worked. So at the end of the next break, I'm going to that microphone to my right. I'm going to sit closer to you, Austin. I don't know if that's legal or not.
Maybe you need to push back.
Yeah, I'm going. And backwards. I'm going a little closer. So bear with me for the next 18 minutes on this microphone because it's not working very well. That might bode well for our listeners. You won't hear me as well, which is usually good for people, except for my mother. My mother loves when I talk. But anyway, we are Sports Saturday today. I am your host, Jeff Paul. Austin Danforth, good to see you, my man.
Aloha, aloha, aloha.
And nobody panic. Aaron did cough a little bit during his sports update, but all is clear and all is good in Aaron world. Nobody's dealing with anything too bad here. So
it was just unfortunate timing for me that right about when this pandemic came around, I got a very mild cold, but the cough stuck with me. So now I terrify all my coworkers.
And just so you all know, he went to the doctors, got cleared to be here, so we're all good to go here. And
I was guaranteed when I walked in the door that surfaces had been cleansed.
Yes, they are. I'll tell you right now, this place has never been so clean.
Studio hygiene.
It's very, very high at 101.3 The Game. So this was supposed to be my vacation. I told you last week I was going to be away, but we cut that vacation short. Came back yesterday. What a whirlwind it's been. And again, I understand that in the overall aspect of what people are dealing with, this is very mild. And I just want to make sure I'm premising that. I'm not. But what a crazy few days it was for me. But as I said last week when we talked about what's going on in the world, tried to do some calming. There's nowhere to go right now. And I think that I've never been on social media more in my life than I have the last 4 or 5 days. I think since, because there's so many moving parts and the quickest way to get news sometimes is on social media. Not that it's always the best news or the right news, by the way, but I mean, you're just trying to keep up to date on things. You just try to find people you trust or people that you follow to kind of keep track of things. And I very reluctantly got on an airplane last Sunday with my wife. We made the call basically as we were walking into the airport Sunday morning. We were taking our annual. My wife and I take one trip, basically one big trip a year. This was our vacation week. We planned it months ago, but we reluctantly got on the airplane on Sunday and said, you know what? We'll just base this day by day. We're going to try to have as much fun as we can. We paid all this money to go to do this trip. And we after talking to some people, we decided we would try this. Got off the airplane in the Keys in Florida. And, it was like minute-to-minute situation. With everything going on back home for me and as a business owner, I spent most of my time on my cell phone. It was warm down there, which was good. So I was sitting by a pool most of the time, which was nice to do that. But I was basically just, communicating for a week until we decided to come home. But we can get into that garbage later on. But I'm glad that I'm back and I'm glad that I was able to get out of Florida, obviously, with, I don't know if you're following what's going around the country in terms of other states, but the governor was basically saying this Sunday, I believe he's shutting down all hotels and all beaches and restaurants and bars and clubs and resorts are getting shut down completely, I believe, on Sunday. But I think if there's anything we can take away to give us some sense of feeling better about what could be happening in the future with this terrible thing that's going on in our country, not only is the pandemic a terrible situation, especially for people that are high risk, what it's doing to businesses locally, nationally, what it's doing to people when this is all said and done. I'm just hoping that we can recover from this. And I have all the faith in the world that once this gets under control and we start to see it turn the other way, this country, as beautiful and as spectacular as it is and as resilient as we've always been, will come back and be as vibrant as it was before this happened. I truly believe that. But if there's anything that we can take away from what I believe all this is happening is I spent 4 or 5 days in the Keys, in the Florida Keys.
Yeah.
And I have to tell you that there are still, when I got on the airplane yesterday at 6 o'clock in the morning, there were still zero cases, the big goose egg cases of COVID-19. Is it COVID-19?
COVID-19.
You know, the coronavirus in the Keys. There were zero cases of it.
And that's encouraging.
And it's encouraging and it's amazing because, and again, people will say, well, you know, there may not be a huge population out there. And I don't know the population of the Keys. If you've never been to the Keys, by the way, when this is all said and done, if you haven't taken a vacation down in the Florida Keys, you're really doing yourself a disservice. It is such a great area of the country. I never really thought about it much until a few years ago. My wife and I went down. There's so many cool things to visit. So many fun things to do. It's almost like being in the Caribbean, but still being in the United States of America.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It really is. And you're in close proximity to Fort Lauderdale and Miami. So you're still kind of close to the big cities and all the things that go along with those things. But there really is a great place to visit. But what I took out of this was thinking about the thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people that have visited the Keys, say, the past 2.5 to 3 months. Before it was known as a pandemic, it was the people from all over the world that were coming in, right? If you've been to Key West, you know that every single day, 2 or 3 major cruise lines come in there every day. And if you've ever been on a cruise, you know there's thousands and thousands of people on those cruises that are disembarking those ships. Is that a word? Disembarking those ships. Thank you very much, Josh. See, yeah. I can always count on you. You're very good with the written word. And I'm terrible with it. But anyway, thousands of them, if not hundreds of thousands, are getting off those ships every day and frequenting those bars, those restaurants, those resorts, those common areas. Yet there's zero cases. And the days that I was down there, it was some of the most spectacular weather I've seen in years. I mean, we're talking low 80s, no humidity, just beautiful. But there's no cases. And what that makes you feel like, and even when you're looking at, if you look at the global situation, not a lot of cases in India, not a lot of cases in areas that there's a lot of warm weather, that maybe we're looking at this as this will react like the flu does and like these other, you know, viruses do when the weather changes.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to spread it and you're going to see the numbers going. That's the only thing if there's any hope out here, and I think there will be hope. I think the problem is that everybody's got an opinion and social media has given everybody an opinion. So you read one thing or somebody writes an article and then that spreads just like this disease does and it can poison your mind. Is just know that the end is near with this. Not. I'm not saying humankind is in the end.
Ending. Poor choice of words.
The end. Well, better than your coughing in the middle of the sports update. I'll say that. But I think the end of this virus is coming, and we'll all kind of get back to it. But I thought it was very telling, and no one's even reporting this. At least they were reporting it down in Florida, even with all the cancellations that the governor's doing down there, Governor DeSantis. At the end of the day, there still were zero cases down there. Even if there's 5 cases down there now, it's got to bode well, Austin, for when the weather does change. I think we're going to start seeing people feel a little bit more comfortable with what's going on.
Yeah, I certainly hope so. I think if just knowing how stuff gets reported and amplified on a national scale, I think once it goes from being anecdotal to documented and like studied in more detail, then that's generally when stuff gets picked up. And if that remains the case, then I think we'll probably hear more about it soon.
Yeah.
But I certainly hope that's the case.
Well, but it makes you feel good, right? I mean, I think, you know, it's so funny. The 4 or 5 days I was down there that we stayed down there before we came home, you know, to me, I was trying to find every day something that would make me feel good about, you know, every day, every second, every minute as the world is changing, you know, decisions are being made statewide and we know what Governor Scott's done here and I was going to talk about this later on, but this is why it's so important that if you know your local restaurants, your local stores that are staying open for pickup and delivery, it's so imperative that you still, you know, don't forget about those people and those employees that are counting on these paychecks. And if there is a business that has the ability to for pickup or a delivery still, is remember those things. Even the businesses that normally don't do pickup and delivery, I've got some very close friends that own restaurants that are really struggling in terms of deciding whether they want to stay open or not because they're concerned about number one, they can't keep the doors open. They can't pay their rent. Obviously, you know, you can't keep buying food if it's going to go bad, but they want to continue to give their employees an opportunity to make some money and they're doing everything in their power. Just remember that stuff going forward here. But I'm just hoping at the end of the day that when this will pass soon, we can get back to normal life. And for me, trying to find some sort of sanity and calmness when there is no calming anywhere, even when we're trying to get it from people, it gets spun into something else when you read it from somewhere else. It's disheartening and it's hurtful. But to me, being in the Keys for 4 or 5 days, as intensive this coronavirus has been for the last week and the attention it's gotten, that there were still zero reported cases in the Keys, I think bodes well for as the weather gets nicer here and we now are in spring, that things will get better for us.
Yeah, I know. I've been finding a little sanity and peace, like just getting outside. Mm-hmm. Like gone for a couple runs. I think it was Thursday.
Looking fit, by the way. By the way.
I don't know about that.
Looking sharp.
It's a baggy sweatshirt.
Looking sharp. Well, those are good. I like baggy things. You know what I mean?
I went for a walk on a golf course the other day. Made me think, you know, trying to feel like spring and golf season might be coming closer than not. And it would just, you know, like sort of a peaceful evening stroll. So that, like, yeah, just pick your spots and do what you can. And yeah, don't go stir crazy, but be smart, be safe.
Exactly.
And if you got to rewatch some sports movies and stuff, do that too.
Do you find yourself doing that? Like, I found myself some nights because I don't watch television. Like, I don't, unless it's sports, I've realized. I have no interest in anything else. I've kind of gotten into this Below Deck show. I think it's on Bravo. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I've told you about this show.
No.
Basically, it's a show that's about, you know, a crew of people that work on these super yachts. And it's like, you know, it's a reality show. My wife loves it. I've been watching some of that stuff. I tried to watch The Bachelor with her because she loves The Bachelor. I just can't get into that. That's the most ridiculous show. But I found myself going back and getting on YouTube and watching like highlights of games. You know, like old baseball games. I watched a bunch of Virginia's championship stuff. I watched some UVM. I mean, I'm just trying to find things to just refocus myself. And I got to tell you, like, without being without watching, there are days that I'm not even putting my television on. That's unheard of for me when I'm home. But there's nothing for me to watch anymore.
Yeah.
It's driving me nuts.
I was like, right before I fell asleep last night, I was about to go on a deep dive of YouTube, like old NBA on NBC clips.
Yeah, it's fun, right?
Because I'd seen someone reshared the John Tesh creating round ball rock, the old NBA theme.
Yep.
And I was like, oh man, I could really go for like some Bob Costas voiceovers into Marv Albert intros. I'm like, I kind of need that right now.
Yeah.
But then I fell asleep.
On the other day I watched the 2001 NBA Finals game where Allen Iverson upset the Lakers. That was pretty fun.
Yeah. I mean, that's thank God for YouTube right now in terms of that stuff, because you can go back and find anything. But before we go to break, I do want to get into, there's some really nice things that have happened this week.
Yeah.
And there were some awards given out to some very special athletes around the Vermont area. And why don't you give us some updates on that?
More awards to come on the Burlington Free Press website. We will be producing our annual All-State boys and girls hockey and basketball teams, as well as Player of the Year stories. Mr. and Miss Hockey, Mr. and Miss Basketball. Those are to come. But some of the coaches, all league teams were rolled out this week. Looking at Vermont Basketball Coaches Association, their two players of the year were named. Little surprise, I think, for folks around here, boys player of the year is Rice's Michelle Diachimier. Just incredible year,
unbelievable player.
Yeah, like I don't think we could. That water has been treading.
And you know what makes it makes your Rice fans be excited is that he's only a junior, right?
Yeah,
I mean, there's more to come from him. It's gonna be next year. He's gonna be unbelievable.
Yeah, and then the girls' player of the year was Olivia Rockwood from Windsor, and obviously she doesn't come up this way very much for folks to see, but she's been an All-State caliber player for 4 years. She's headed to Maine next year. She's been really impressive for the Yellow Jackets down there. Girls are the hockey players of the year. You're looking at like Division One girl, Tier One. In the regular season, it's Tier One, Tier Two, Tier Three. Tier One player of the year, your girl Madison Shagnon from
so
Burlington,
proud of
Colchester.
So proud of her. And people will say you're just a homer. Maddie played for me at Colchester, a soccer player. One of the best and most hardworking kids you're ever going to meet, and the most humble kid you're ever going to meet. I mean, her story, and we know what she is a hockey player, but her story as a soccer player should be an inspiration for any kid that wants to play soccer. It truly should be, and I won't go into it today, but what a special athlete she is, and Colchester, Burlington, very lucky to have her.
Yeah, so she was Tier 1. Tier 2 was the goalie from Harwood that almost kept the Sea Lakers from going to the final, Kaylee Thayer. The Harwood goalie was the Tier 2 player of the year. Tier 3, freshman phenom from Spalding, Cammy Bell. She had 80 points as a freshman this
year. Wow.
Like that's
that's unbelievable.
Bonkers. The Division 1 boys hockey player of the year, Alex Tilner from Stowe, helped lead them to the D1 championship game. And then the D2 player of the year, a goalie, Jackson Ayler.
Ayler, that's what they say up north.
Jackson Ayler from Milton High School helped lead the Yellow Jackets to the D2 championship game as well. So congrats to all those
kids. That's awesome stuff. Awesome stuff. What a season it was for hockey, right, in the state of Austin. I mean, really unbelievable. I mean, basketball is sad. We talk about that a lot, but this hockey season, there are some athletes in this area.
It was fun. There was a lot of parity, some surprises. I think it sounded like folks thought like Essex was sort of they were the team to beat all regular season, two-time defending champs. Yeah. 18-1-1 in the regular season, and they got bounced before the final, which it sounded like some people thought they might have been gettable. I was still surprised.
Yep.
And then the D2 boys hockey final was incredible.
Unbelievable.
Go to overtime between Harwood and Northfield. So, yeah, it was a fun winter of high school sports.
And again, like I always say, we are blessed up here to have people like Austin and our buddy Alex Abrami, the Free Press, to keep us in the loop with all the sports throughout the season. Congrats on another great year. All right, guys, the Green City Garage poll question. Green City Garage located at 49B Commerce Ave, Unit 5 in South Burlington. Phone number 802-651-9299. Go see my buddy Chris Wallace for all your automobile needs. He is the guy at Green City Garage. You knew we weren't going to go through a whole thing without mentioning this, right? Go to Twitter right now, 1013 the game, and answer our question. With Tom Brady, TB12, the favorite player of my boy Austin Danforth, moving to Tampa Bay, and with no real experience at the quarterback position, should the greatest organization in football history, the Patriots, be in rebuild mode? Yes or no? Go to Twitter right now, 1013 the game, and let us know. Don't go anywhere. When we come back, we're talking Red Sox baseball with our friend from The Athletic, Jen McCaffrey.
101.3 The Game weather.
A few higher terrain snow showers stick with us early Saturday, but an influx of colder, drier air will help to clear clouds gradually throughout the day. The temp bottoms out in the upper teens to low and mid-20s before inching along into the upper 20s to low and mid-30s this afternoon. Winds still brisk at 10 to 20 miles per hour from the north-northwest. Tonight, mostly clear and cold with a low in the single digits and teens. With your forecast on 101.3 The Game, I'm Chief Meteorologist Amanda Tebow with Local 22 and Local 44 News.
Getting you ready for game day. It's Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game.
Guitar and air drums are going in here. This is an official song of Austin Danforth. So
yes.
If you're looking for a little early summer song to roll the windows down to this summer, this is what the AD does.
It's right here. The song's called One Big Holiday. It's by the band My Morning Jacket. I love it.
You do. My God, you seem fired up in here. My God, he's got his shirt off. He's going around his head. Let's get it going. We are Sports Saturday here on 101.3 The Game and 101.3thegame.com. I'm your host, Jeff Paul, Austin Danforth, and our boy Aaron Wells here. This week, I thought, hey, man, like, you know, look, if any professional sport's going to come back sometime, and hopefully soon, it's going to be Major League Baseball, right? It's got to be. I mean, that's a season that's, you know, it's not even officially supposed to start yet, so we feel like we're going to get some type of season. And look, the Red Sox have made some noise and some interest, and I don't mean noise in terms of signings or big moves, but they have been in the news, and obviously the news came out this week that Chris Sale is going to have Tommy John surgery. So I thought, who better to talk to about this than our Red Sox writer, our great friend from The Athletic, Jen McCaffrey, who joins us now on the TikTok Jewelers Guest Line. Good morning, Jen. What's happening today?
Hey guys, how you doing?
You staying healthy down in Boston these days, or what?
Yeah, trying to stay inside, like I think the rest of us. So not too much else going on.
Well, so everybody knows what's going on with this, you know, the pandemic, and everybody's making those moves to stay healthy. So we're not going to talk about that. Let's just talk strictly baseball if we can. The Red Sox obviously are still facing, and it looks, I don't know when it's going to come out now, but the powers that be in baseball have yet to come out with what's going to happen to them with this cheating scandal. Let's talk about that first. Where do you see them falling in terms of what the commissioner will do with them?
Yeah, I feel like that's kind of like an afterthought in the kind of the grand scheme of everything that's going on. We really still have like absolutely no idea of what's happening, and honestly, I don't know that. You know, there has been much traction just because the commissioner's office has been so tied up in kind of figuring out when to restart baseball and all the other, you know, kind of things that fall, you know, kind of out of that of, you know, service time for guys, you know, the season, if it's cut short, how does that affect guys' service time for impending free agency and, you know, things like contract incentives, having to have a number of at-bats and, you know, making sure you fit all that kind of stuff into play. So I feel like they're a little tied up right now, and whatever they were working on with the Red Sox investigation has probably taken a back seat.
Right.
We did see a report yesterday that there was so Daily Fantasy Sports has, I guess, sued or is in the process of suing the Astros and Red Sox for the sign ceiling, you know, saga, because they obviously because if they knew what was coming, then they were kind of throwing their results off, and Daily Fantasy Sports is, you know, obviously that's how they make their money. So we did see a kind of a report about a court case between the Red Sox lawyers were in court, I guess, late last week. It might have even been Thursday or Friday of this week. And just kind of something that came out of that, but there really wasn't much traction. So, yeah, other than that, there's really nothing going on that end, you know, that we know of. It's really just been kind of, when is baseball starting back up and what the heck's going
to
happen.
And so then following up with that then, so what does happen now? So let's say that in 2 weeks we're in a position where baseball can start again. How much longer do they need in spring training so they can start the season?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you're looking at the season starting until, you know, June at the very, very earliest. You know, the season's not going to start, you know, so the CDC had that recommendation of, you know, no more than 50 people gatherings for 8 weeks, which puts them into mid-May, but they'd need a couple weeks, you know, three weeks at the bare minimum to kind of build guys back up. You know, the hitters can continue doing their thing and swinging in cages, and that's not as much of a worry, but just the pitchers in terms of building back up to game action and, you know, they're keeping their arms fresh, but they don't want to kind of overextend themselves in a period where they don't know where they're going to have to, how quickly they have to ramp back up. So, you know, you'd want to get your starters, you know, a couple of starts, I would imagine. And we talked to Heim Bloom and Ron Renicki the other day following the Chris Dale news, and Ron was basically saying he could envision, you know, a 3 to 4 week spring training where really it's the focus on the pitchers, just getting them kind of ramped back up, and the hitters kind of can get back into game action relatively quickly, but building those guys on the mound back up is what the key issue is.
So in a way, Jen, would this be obviously, this situation isn't good for anybody, but, like, could the Red Sox somehow benefit?
Yeah, I mean, you know, considering they don't really have a lot of pieces on their they're still kind of searching for a lot of pieces in their rotation, and just in general, guys like Alex Verdugo who were going to start the season injured anyway and now kind of has a little bit of extra time. Even a guy like Colin McHugh, who they signed right before, you know, everything closed down, wasn't going to start the season on time, but has more time to continue, like, building up and rehabbing. So if you want to look for any silver lining in all this, some of those guys might be more ready to contribute by the time the season starts. But you have a lot of question marks still in your rotation, and obviously the Sale news, you know, added to that. He wasn't going to start the season with the team either, but now he's not going to be around for at least a year. So you were sort of thinking maybe, oh, an opener for him, but now, you know, do you go find someone more permanent, or are you kind of just punting on this year in general because it already feels like a lost year with however many games they're going to have to shave off the schedule and just sort of piece things together? So, you know, in some sense, you know, it's, I guess, the silver lining is that some of these guys will be able to contribute sooner, you know, if the season is shortened, but in, you know, other senses, what are they contributing to, and, you know, what kind of season is this going to be? Is it even going to be, you know, they're going to obviously have to play the games, but is it going to be worth it to kind of, you know, push these guys for something that seems like everything's kind of like falling apart around them?
But don't you look at it this way, though, for the Red Sox, a team like the Red Sox that people will kind of expect that are going to want to rebuild or whatever? If you take a month and a half out, let's say we start in middle of June or early June, that's 2 months that are gone. That means that teams like the Red Sox, if they start out well, and let's say you can't have those prolonged losing streaks. I mean, maybe they're going to be in this thing. What if the Red Sox are around 500 and you know, and nobody's really taken off. That, and then, you know, when we get to August, that my point here is when this season starts, if let's say we start in June, let's just hope that it starts in June. By August, we're like living life, right? So we're 2 months into a season. You know, the Red Sox could be, I mean, they could be palatable. I mean, they could be in a situation where, you know?
Yeah, the Astros wouldn't have time to get their new, whatever their new system's going to be.
But I guess the point is the Red Sox, this could benefit a team like the Boston Red Sox. You know, you have some time to figure some things out. You get a little bit more spring training. Now there's 2 months less of the season. If nobody kind of goes away and hides, I mean, the Red Sox would still be in this thing late. That's a good thing, right?
Yeah, you know, I don't think that I've heard that kind of optimism from anybody, but yeah, I mean, I think you can definitely look at it that way. I think, you know, you have to also bank on the fact that everybody is coming in and pitching and hitting and performing the way you know, to their potential. You guys may come back, you know, Eduardo Rodriguez may come back and not, you know, not pitch the way you saw him pitch last year. Nathan Eovaldi might get hurt again, or, you know, all those kind of things factor in it. But if regardless of, you know, losing Sale and obviously Mookie and David Price, you know, earlier in February in the trade, they still have a lot of good pieces on this team, and they still could conceivably compete. It's just there's a lot of, you know, question marks and a lot of just variables in play that are kind of working against them. But maybe, yeah, maybe this extra time, you know, helps them, and the shortened season kind of adds a little, just a different vibe to everything, and maybe a little different urgency. And yeah, I mean, Yankees obviously have their injury issues, but they'll also have time to kind of rest some of their guys too. So, I mean, yeah, I think that the big thing is no one really knows how this is going to affect anything. And, you know, we'll just kind of have to continue waiting. You know, at this point, it's kind of as anybody's guess of how this will all kind of pan out and how these guys will come out of this break, if they'll be fresher, if they'll be more kind of thrown off because their bodies are used to starting in April. I think it's just this is something we've never kind of come across before. So it's going to be fascinating to watch one way or another.
I guess my whole point was there's going to be no pressure on the Red Sox at all. I mean, this season seems like it's a lost season with all the movement that they had with players and now with Chris Sale out for the season. That they're, you know, they can kind of come out and play loose where, you know, early in the season for most teams, if you have a losing streak in April or May, it doesn't kill you. But if you have one in June, you know, and it puts you like 8-9 games back by the end of June, and you know that the season's not going to go any longer than it normally does, that puts a lot of pressure on the teams that are supposed to win. So if the Red Sox start early in the season and have some success and you put some pressure on, say, a team like the Yankees or whoever we deem is the best team in baseball, or it could be any team in terms of the wild card, the teams that are supposed to be successful, I think it bodes well if the Sox could start out the season, you know, somewhat successful and stay in it, that you could put some pressure on somebody late. But before I let you go, I got to ask about Chris Sale. Kind of a weird situation, right? Like he had the pneumonia is what they were reporting early in the spring training. Then he had the arm issue. They said there's no problem, but now all of a sudden there's Tommy John. Like, what's going on with that?
Yeah, so yeah, obviously he came into camp and missed those first 2 weeks with pneumonia, which, you know, set him back. He had been, you know, ramping up in the winter after he had that PRP shot and kind of the rest in August, which put him on the, I guess, on the injury list as sort of the initial thing that started this all, at least if the initial thing in this time period. You could kind of date this all back to like the 2018 season, really. But in this time frame, you know, had that, you know, PRP shot, the rest period had started to ramp back up in January and was throwing in the off season and then gets hit with pneumonia, so that sets him back. And then he comes back and starts throwing again and started ramping back up and was feeling good. And then early March gets hit again and has this, you know, this soreness in the elbow. They give him the rest period. In the meantime, all the, you know, major league camps closed down, and he continues to kind of do his thing on the side. So last weekend, he got back on the mound after the feeling the soreness and kind of the flexor strain that they diagnosed him with, and still felt more pain. So then I guess, you know, they deemed that the final straw and that, you know, this was the last straw of trying to avoid surgery or trying to see if surgery wasn't necessary. I mean, he went to Dr. Andrews, Dr. Elatrache, the four leading arm specialists in the country, and each of them said, you know, wait and rest it and take anti-inflammatories and see how it goes, and he did that and still nothing. So here we are with the surgery, and he'll probably be out, you know, for 12 to 18 months is really kind of the time frame for most pitchers nowadays with Tommy John surgery. So sometime by the, you know, All-Star break of 2021, he'll be back. So, yeah, we'll have to – he hasn't had the surgery yet. Obviously, there's a lot of complications with, you know, people having elective surgeries right now. But they expected him to have it relatively soon. So we'll see what this means for his future. You know, if he comes back stronger, if he comes back at all, you know, some guys don't. If he, you know, how he responds, and just sort of see what this means for the future for him. But obviously, it's not good for the Red Sox losing him for this period of time.
Jen, you are the best. Stay safe down in Boston, and we'll talk to you again down the road. Okay.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
All right, Jen McCaffrey from The Athletic. Listen, I mean, you know, weird times, but. Again, one of the interesting things we're going to see when this is all over is baseball 2 months removed. You know what I mean? We're going to have two months less of games.
Right.
Be interesting to see how this plays out, which will put – you just can't have – if you're a Yankee fan, I think Yankee fans always remember that April is always the worst for the Yankees. You know, they always find themselves way out. And you got to tell you, by if you finish the end of June and you're 7 or 6 or 8 games out of anything or – you know, you're 5 games out of a wild card. Like, you're putting a lot of pressure on yourself to transition that and turn the clock ahead a little bit to get yourselves to a playoff position. So a team like the Red Sox with no pressure on them, you come out and play loose. They got the guys in the lineup that can hit. You have no idea where the pitching's going to be for anybody when the season gets going. I hope it doesn't happen. I'm a Yankee fan, but I mean, I have to, you know, feel a little good about things. You never know.
Right. Anybody could get hot, and then that completely changes the makeup of the playoff race, you know, by the 4th of July.
And it is a very important point that their offensive game is still pretty solid. So if you have a couple pitchers come out and have career years, all of a sudden this is a much better team than it looks like right now.
Yeah, I'm just going to say, I hope it doesn't happen. I mean, let's go Yanks. You know, come on, let's go. I mean, Aaron, by the way, how does Aaron Judge have a collapsed lung and a bruised rib and the Yankees didn't even know it?
Yeah, that's still surprising. We talked about that a couple weeks ago.
But with a bruised rib, I was mad. But he also had a collapsed lung. I mean, who's running the show over there if you're the Yankees doctors?
That's a strong lung. If it's collapsed and could still fool doctors, that's a powerful lung
right there. He's a big guy. Yeah, it's a big lung.
And Chris Sale, if he's done, like, so he turns 31 on March 30th. If he's not back till middle of next year, he's going to be 32 years old.
That's amazing. Point. Yeah. Crazy times in Boston. No question about that. All right, quick break. When we come back, we're going to break down this Tom Brady thing. Don't go anywhere.
The high school coach and the high school reporter who comments on that coach. How do they do a show together? It's Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Austin Danforth on 101.3 The Game.
I really only have one concern, and to me, you know, it's a little bit, and this is why I didn't know if it would work or happen in general. Love the offense. Brady can still push the ball down the field. The one thing I have a concern with Brady more than anything about his play right now is his just want to, his ability to stand in the pocket and take punishment. And, you know, it's a little extra in this marriage because Bruce Arians, he's one of the, hey, no risk it, no biscuit. You got to hold the ball all day here because I want to throw the ball 20, 30, 40, 50 yards downfield. And I think, you know, Brady's going to have to get used to that style of play.
That's Chris Sims' his take on the Tom Brady move to Tampa Bay. And, you know, look, there's a lot of perspectives out there. We're going to cover a couple of those during this segment. But big news this week, Tom Brady, the Mr. Patriot, the face of the NFL, packs his bags for, I mean, that deal he got is insane.
Goodness.
The fact that Tampa guarantees that money for 2 years with on top of the incentives, on top of the fact he can't be tagged, on top of any of that stuff is insane. I can see why he went. But again, I mean, I don't know how I feel about this. I can get the Patriots fan perspective. And Austin, I know it's got to be just destroying you inside. But then I thought for a second. So my first thought process was, how could Tom Brady just run for money when you're Tom Brady, for God's sakes? You know, this isn't what you represent. And then I thought, and then I'm looking at both teams and I'm thinking, well, Tampa had an up-and-coming defense last season, pretty good defense, one of some premier linebackers, and they can get to the quarterback. You love the offensive weapons that Tampa has, so maybe Tom Brady makes him maybe this is a better fit for Tom Brady. But then you listen to Chris Sims and you think, you know what, if they can't protect him, this is going to be a lot different for Tom Brady. So I don't know where I fall on this.
It is important that right after it was, very soon after it was announced he was signing, they also signed an offensive lineman. So they're already trying to make plans to keep him safe. But it is concerning that Bruce Arians might want to sling it, and that might put Tom Brady in danger.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that yet. I'd mostly been thinking about like unfollowing Brady on Instagram and Twitter, and
it's got to be cutting ties. I
didn't think it was gonna I really didn't think it was gonna happen.
Neither did I.
And it wasn't like I was trying to convince myself either. I honestly didn't think it would happen. And I don't want to watch him now. Like, I guess I'll watch highlights. I don't. Hopefully, we can watch football in a couple months. Yeah. People can't see it, but I'm making like nauseated faces,
yucky
here.
Faces. Yeah. But you know, I'll tell you, I'm shocked at it. I really am. I just felt like he's never been the guy. I thought the thing that he was kind of holding out for was that he was waiting for the Patriots to say, all right, we're going to let you, you're going to be able to, you know, you're not going to be able to dictate who we sign, but you'll have a part of this. You're going to be a part of who we bring in, you know, and we're going to, you know, I figured he'd do another normal contract for Tom Brady, a very team friendly, because again, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, before all the injuries the Patriots had, we were talking about this team being undefeated last season and feeling it had a really good chance to be undefeated. Mm-hmm. Now he's going to Tampa Bay where, look, I mean, okay. I don't know. It feels really weird to me. And I think the bigger story, though, isn't that Tom Brady left the Patriots. It's what are the Patriots now? And I thought Colin Cowherd had an interesting take. Go ahead and play that.
For years and years, CBS made a lot of money putting Tom Brady on those late games. Tom Brady is now a Buccaneer. By the way, Tampa and Tom Brady next year face Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City, the L.A. Rams, and Drew Brees twice. Those are all national TV games. Those are great watches. They'll be on Fox. Conversely, New England now, which CBS has leaned on, is an absolute snooze.
And I disagree completely with him. I really do. I think the Patriots right now are must-see TV. Because if there has ever been an organization that we have looked at for the last 20 years in any sport, that has been the clear gold standard for what people are trying to do, it's been the New England Patriots. And now we get to see what happens in this next era of non-Tom Brady. And we get to see the real greatness of who Bill Belichick is. We've had debates many times on this show, on who you rather have, Brady or Belichick. Mine has always been Belichick because I think he is a savant. I think he's the smartest coach in football. But I think I disagree with him in terms of ratings and where they're going to play games, whatever. But if there is a more intriguing football team in the NFL right now, you have to tell me who it is because I think the Patriots are it.
I think saying they're a snooze fest is a little disingenuous. Like I think you've got, like you just said, there's 20 years of people waiting for them to like be bad, and it could happen this year now. Like it could.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it will, but like it could. And I think people will tune in to see what the Patriots, as constituted without Tom Brady, can achieve. And kind of like, it's probably going to be a lot of schadenfreude if...
I'm sorry, what?
Schadenfreude.
Do I need schnitzel with that?
You can order it if you want. That people are going to be tuning in to try and take some joy out of what they would hope is Patriots misery.
655-6672 is the number to call to join this conversation.
German lessons all day.
655-6672. 888-802-655-6672. Or you can text us on the Town Fair Tire text line at the exact same number. Yeah, I'm in shock with what's going to happen. But I guess the next question is, if you're Patriot fans, do you want to roll the dice on this rookie you got on the roster? You want to roll dice with this kid? Or there are guys out there. Cam Newton is looking for a trade right now. I mean, and it looks like the Carolina Panthers are going to release him this week. That's what the stories look like. Would Cam Newton be a great fit for the Patriots team? That, you know, I mean, look,
I don't hate it.
Yeah, I mean, is that the next step now for the Pats, or do you want this kid, this rookie,
Stidham,
to get, you know, give him the ball and see what he's got for a year and go from there?
Well, I think letting Stidham start is officially accepting that it's a rebuild year. I think signing Cam Newton is seeing what we can do with what we have left. I don't know which one I feel better about. I think the only option I'm not okay with is trying to really sell out on future prospects in order to try and stay relevant right now. I don't want them, you know, trading picks for current players.
But that's not the Belichick way. It's never been. There's
so
no
I'm okay with either of
happen.
The other two. I don't know which one I like more though. Which
I so I was listening to. I think Ryan Russillo was talking about the Patriots situation. On a Ringer video the other day, and was saying basically like Stidham, you know, like if you equate it to like when Matt Cassel, like people made a big deal out of Matt Cassel going 11-5, and like the teams they played outside the division were awful that year, and you look at Stidham and what he's done, and there really just isn't the track record there, and you don't know how he can react when he has the full force of the offense on him. I do kind of like I kind of like that. I didn't really thought about Cam Newton. I kind of like it.
Yeah, I do too.
I think get a guy back there with a slightly different skill set who can maybe prolong a play, who might have something to prove right now, who has the talent that, you know, he took a team to a Super Bowl before. Like that's like right. That's no joke.
So, yeah, I mean, and again, a guy that 2 years ago was, you know, was saying things like, you know, you thought he was still one of the best quarterbacks in the league. All right, we got Dave from Burlington on the line. What's up today, Dave?
Jeff, my old buddy, how's that bald head of yours?
Right now, it's well moisturized. I'll just give you that. How's that?
And a little hey, bronzed.
You know, yeah. Talking football, I went to a game this year. Somebody won some tickets from the lottery, and it happened to be the Patriots. VIP, we were up in the suites. It was against Buffalo. Tom Brady's last win with New England. Anyway, at halftime, he said, who wants to go down on the field? So it wasn't really halftime. We had like a few minutes left. One time, Tom Brady, like, looked off Edelman, and then he pointed right at me and threw the ball, like, right in my line of sight.
And did you catch it? That's the real question.
It was like 4 seconds of, wow, Tom Brady is throwing the... And then Edelman came and scooped it away. But... I just realized that I'm a Tom Brady fan, even though I'm a Rams fan, and I hate the Patriots.
Interesting.
You know what I mean? Because they beat us twice in the Super Bowl. But right. Now I think I'm switching over to the Bucks because I love Tom Brady. Don't ever say that he can't. You guys are he's in a situation right now that he thrives in. You don't tell that man can't.
Yeah, Dave, and thanks for the call, buddy, and thanks for mentioning my bald head. I always appreciate that. I agree. I mean, I don't think Tom Brady's going to fail in Tampa. I think he'll probably be excited to have his offense opened up a little bit. And the weapons that he has are insanely good. I don't think you look at Tom Brady and think that we're not saying he can't thrive in Tampa for a year or two. Fine. I think we're looking at this Patriot organization. I'm more intrigued with what the Patriots do than what Tampa does with Brady. I truly am.
Well, you think about it, either outcome is historic. It's either the end of 20 years of greatness, or it's a team that finds a way to survive losing three defensive starters and their franchise quarterback for the last 20 years and still be good.
And I would say that routinely the Patriots lose their best defensive player from the year before to you know, free agency, or just decides he's not going to pay.
It's just usually not the same year they lose Tom Brady.
No, I agree. So, I mean, I don't think that they're not must-see TV now. Midway through the season, if they're under 500, then maybe that turns into a situation where they're not the type of team you want to follow. But again, Bill Belichick, with everything he's done, with his age, with everything he's represented, who he is, what he does he want to be? That would be a question. I mean, when this is all going down, are we going to bring Brady back or not? And obviously Brady wanted big numbers. The Patriots weren't going to do that. But is this a Bill Belichick? Is this ideal for Bill Belichick? Is he looking forward to this type of challenge? Is this the type of team he's looking forward to rebuilding at his age, with his track record, what he's done, where he's been?
It must be some perverse, like he gets sort of jacked up to go back to the drawing board and try and do it, because it's not like he's not going to get fired.
Like, no, but do you feel like maybe if this maybe came at him as a surprise potentially too?
Maybe, but like I'm just thinking. Let's say Belichick only has 3 or 4 years left of doing this.
Right.
Like, and he's not going to get fired before that if they're not good. He's going to try and do, like, he's set himself up for a project.
But
and,
if
like,
they're,
it
but
might
if
work,
they're
it
not,
might not, but it doesn't matter
not,
to
but,
him.
But see, but if they're not good and they really struggle for 3 years, does that take the gleam off what we all look at Bill Belichick? I mean, that's what I think. Could Bill Belichick be the next?
Isn't the thing he doesn't care what anybody else thinks?
No, it's true. That's true.
The guy that cuts the sleeves off of every sweatshirt he owns really thinks too much about other people?
But you and I both know, end of day, guys like Belichick, guys like Brady, guys like Jeter, guys like...
He'll point to the rings.
Fair enough. But yeah. But that right now, with the Patriot rings, the people... And again, he doesn't care what people think. But again, you wonder, is it them together? Is it Belichick? Is it Brady? What is it? Does Bill Belichick now want to be a part of an organization that's going to be rebuilding? Does Bill Belichick want to be a part of an organization, let's say in week 6, they're 2-4 or even go in their way out of it. We're going to start playing younger kids. We're going to try to look and trying to get a draft pick. Does Bill Belichick stick around with that?
I see where you're going. I bet he might double down. Like I feel like because I do think if he thinks about it like that, yes, competitively, I think he has that like chip on his shoulder. Like
yeah.
He doesn't want people to think that it was Brady, even though he said before the players make the plays. But I think he would probably put more of himself into this upcoming team than he has in the past.
There's a very real possibility that he's frustrated about this because a couple of years ago, it looked like Bill Belichick was going to get to go through this transitioning process on his terms.
Instead,
Tom Brady is getting to do it on his terms. Potentially leaving Bill holding the bag.
Great point. That's a great point. And you wonder if that's what that was kind of the last straw was the fact that, you know, Brady wanted Garoppolo out of there. I mean, you know, that trade was probably pushed more by Tom Brady than it was Bill Belichick. And now the Patriots are kind of in this funky position. It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out.
Well, the thing about the Patriot way is that it's, you know, whatever's best for the team, not what's best for the individual. So you have two individuals and what they think's best is different. And all of a sudden, they both want things to go their way, and that's going to cause a divide. So it wouldn't surprise me if Bill was very frustrated with the way this went down.
Well, it's going to be something we're going to have to watch closely, and I'm telling you right now, for Colin Cowherd to say that it's not must-see TV, I think the Patriots are going to be must-see TV, especially the first half of the season.
That's him just doing a partial ascent up Take Mountain.
Yeah.
he's climbing.
Is there a German word for that? I don't know.
Climbentagen. Aufsteigen is, climb.
Okay, good. Well, that's you guys are way... See, this is mean. It's like embarrassing for me to sit here. All right, quick break. When we come back, some really cool sound from SVP. During a week that's been really tough to talk sports and it's been tough to live in this world right now, you're going to like this if you're from Vermont. Don't go anywhere.
Another day closer to game day. It's Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Austin Danforth on 101.3 The Game.
Normally this is our out in left field time, but we decided we're going to put a fun little story today instead of something crazy or weird happening in the world because the world's crazy enough right now, but... Scott Van Pelt, SVP on ESPN, I don't watch him a lot just because he's on really late at night, and I'm not into SportsCenter anymore. I don't know what's going on. I just don't watch a lot of SportsCenter anymore. But interesting sound this week about a couple very talented girls' basketball teams in Vermont. Aaron, play that sound.
Now, this is the team from Fairhaven in Vermont, who was 23-0. They were looking for back-to-back girls' state basketball titles, and we salute them. But I want to tell you about who they were playing for the state title and show you my favorite picture of this whole thing. It's a little bit blurry, but it's perfect. And it's why sports are better than anything else. These are the Harwood High Highlanders. And the expressions on their faces tell the story because they just won a state semifinal and they're headed to the first final in 40 years. When the seniors started on varsity, they went 0-20. Obviously, not very good. As seniors, this win made them 20-3, and they were headed to the state finals. Now, based on who they were playing, they would have had their hands full in that final with unbeaten Fairhaven, sure. So this image is who those seniors are forever, frozen in time and in victory. And there are worse things to remember about your senior night.
A pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, at SVP, he knocks it out of the park just about every week.
He does.
And that's a segment they've started doing during their show this past week, honoring like amateur athletes, high school and college kids who were on the verge of doing something and didn't get the chance to pull it off, and calling the segment Senior Night. He wasn't wrong. Like 4 or 5 years ago, Harwood girls basketball was at the bottom of Division II, and it's pretty startling the degree to which they've turned it around. They got a couple kids there. Mia Cooper was one star that sort of helped. She was a senior, helped build things up. Tatum Nelson, who folks might know as a soccer player.
Very, very talented athlete.
I believe her dad played basketball for Coach Brennan at UVM a couple decades ago. And she's coming on, and she had a great semifinal in their win over North Country, where the picture that Scott Van Pelt references is basically the entire bench emptying, like, just absolute full celebration mode after their win over North Country. And pouring onto the court, and you see the fans behind him. It was really, really super. And like the court at the Barry Auditorium has, quote, the odd on it right in front of him. It was almost a perfectly composed photo. So.
And I have to say, nationally, if there were two names of high schools that are more Vermont than Fairhaven and Harwood, I don't know if there's two names. If you're watching that segment, say you're living in Alabama, and you're thinking of what a high school's name in Vermont would be, Fairhaven and Harwood would be two names I think you could pick.
And also, like, I think the Slaters, as I'm one of them.
Yes, you are.
I believe we are the only Slaters in the whole country.
Really?
I'd be hard-pressed to think why anybody else would be called a Slater.
And if you don't know why, the city of Fairhaven or the town of Fairhaven has one of the greatest collections of slate, right?
So they produced slate and continue to produce slate in Castleton, Fairhaven, Pulteney area. So like if you see slate roofs on any houses, older traditional houses,
you can thank Austin.
Don't thank me. Thank people that have come before, but you can know that slate probably came from West Central Vermont. So.
Well, just an awesome story and obviously with the trying times of some of these kids knowing that they're not going to have the ability to be able to compete for their championship. I know for, a school maybe like a Fairhaven or a school like a CVU that were so dominant this season in their divisions, I know it's probably heartbreaking for them, but for some of these schools that got to the Final Four, that this is a very special time for them. And perspectives might be different, but as we go on during this process, I think just remembering those moments is really what's going to be important to them. And in 10 years from now, when these kids are thinking about their high school days, they're going to always remember this because we're living in a world right now that is unprecedented. But you're going to remember the times that you had with your team, those special moments. And for these schools, and for a school like Harwood, and the story you just heard from SVP, I think it speaks volumes. That's really why sports is so special.
Yeah, and I think we may have glossed over it during the show, but early last week, the VPA announced that all of the remaining girls basketball teams would be crowned co-champs. So we have quad champs in Division I and Division III, and co-champs in D2 and D4. Harwood, they were a great story. They hadn't made a final in 40 years.
Unbelievable.
Mid-Vermont Christian, they had reached the D4 final. They were going to be the first state finalist in any sport for that tiny little school I think it's Queechee.
Very cool.
There was some cool stories, and I think the VPA did the right thing. Some people sort of freaked out, like, why give out, participatory trophies sort of thing. But it symbolizes, what they achieved to get to that point in the season, and also what was taken away from them. And I think that was really important.
I'm with you, especially this time. I don't think you can argue this right now. There are definitely things with the VPA that you can argue about. This one you can't. All right. Quick break. Actually, no break. It's sports update time with my guy, Aaron Wells. Don't go anywhere.
Bringing you another day closer to game day. It's Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Austin Danforth on 101.3 The Game.
This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game and 101.3thegame.com. Phone number to join our conversation today, 802-655-6672. Or you can text us on the Town Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672. I finally got the computer up here, and I know there have been a bunch of texts this morning. We're going to get to that next segment. But we do have to talk about something that I think really that was really neat that I didn't realize happened 15 years ago, which makes me feel even older than I am right now.
Yeah.
It's 15 years ago this week. UVM upset Syracuse in the first round of the NCAA tournament, and what a moment that was. And I thought when we were kind of putting these segments together today, I thought it'd be fun to talk about, there are certain things that happen in the world or in life that you know exactly where you were when it happened. And I thought this was one of those because I can remember exactly where I was. I can remember the moment it happened. I can remember my weekend that weekend. What a weekend that was if you're a Catamount fan up here in Burlington.
Absolutely. I remember where I was, and I was lucky enough to be there in Worcester, watching in the stands. I can rub that in as much or as little.
That's
as
pretty awesome.
But yeah, I was a freshman at UVM at the time, and had lucked into some tickets. A coworker of my mom's was a Holy Cross alum, and he was able to get tickets in advance without knowing UVM was going to be there. He offered, because he knew I was a big basketball fan, he offered tickets to there or the second weekend games in Syracuse, where he was also able to get tickets. And I was like, once UVM landed in Worcester, I was like, I'll take those.
Exactly.
Thanks, Tom. And he was like, I'm going to go with you. And I was like, okay, that's great.
Yeah.
Like, it was, yeah, unforgettable night.
Well, joining us now on the TikTok Doodlers guest line is our good friend from the Free Press, Alex Abrami. Alex, what's happening, buddy?
Hey, Jeff, and hey, Austin.
Well,
hey,
I miss you.
Your voice.
I miss you.
Okay, enough of that. I'm not going to get in between that one. But anyway, hey, so we are talking about, I don't know if you heard us, 15 years ago this week was UVM's unbelievable upset against Syracuse. We're talking about, we remember where we were. Austin was at that game. What were you doing during, where were you during that moment?
I don't have a story like that. I can't top that. I was just at my parents' house watching the game. I feel like it was like the 9 o'clock start in that time.
Yeah, well, it was late.
It was game two that night. Yeah, yeah. It was late.
Yeah. So I was a college grad, and I was working for the Times Argus, my first job out of college. But I was home in Williston at my parents' house watching the game. So that's the most exciting thing I can tell you about it.
Well, I will tell you, for me, I can remember we were playing my good friend Mike Mulcahy. We all went, my buddies and I, because this was back in 2005, and we used to play poker on the weekends. And this game was on a Friday night. And we went to his house, and we picked his house to go play, but his landlord at the time was a gentleman below him, so he didn't want any noise. So we were trying to watch that game and not make any noise as we're watching it. You know, we're getting excited that it's going to happen. And the next night, because of all of what was going on, we ended up going out, and that's where I met my wife. Like, if it wasn't for UVM beating Syracuse, I don't know if I would have... I may have met her somewhere around the way, but that was the first night that we actually spoke and talked. And, you know, I mean, listen, you know, a few years later, we got married. So, I mean, I owe Coach Brennan at least that. I don't know if I would have married my wife or even met my wife if it wasn't for the Catamounts beating Syracuse. What do you think about that?
That's a better story than Austin B.
I mean, it's pretty good, right? I don't know.
Hey. No, that's really cool.
But anyway, but listen, let's talk. You wrote a kind of a neat article about this, and Austin, you were there. What a moment it was for the program overall, right? I mean, that was like the defining moment for Sorrentine and Coppin Rath. That team that had been, you know, we knew how successful they were with their career. They went to the NCAA tournament, I think, was it 2 years they had
Three.
Been?
They'd been twice.
And that was their third time. And
yep, their third time was the charm.
Exactly. And they definitely got handled the first couple times. And I remember one year, I think their first year they went, there was a big snowstorm that kept them in Burlington. They were playing in Arizona, I think.
They were playing Arizona in Utah.
In Utah.
And they got stuck in Denver.
Right. So they didn't even get the chance to really enjoy, because I think they were able to get their flight in day of game.
Yep.
So they didn't get a chance to kind of enjoy the atmosphere and enjoy all the things that go along with being a part of the tournament. And to get to that moment and beat Syracuse. I mean, is there another program in the country at that point? I think they were just coming off it. Didn't they just win a championship a year or two before that?
2 years.
Yeah, so you're talking...
Right, Alex?
Yeah. Yes, it was it. 2003 with Carmelo Anthony when he was a freshman. Then, he bolted to the NBA. And if I recall, like, it was... Even though, like, they didn't have Anthony anymore, like, they were, like, a trendy Final Four pick that year in 05.
Yeah.
As a four seed. But then at the same time, UVM was kind of like a trendy pick for one of the tournament darlings.
Right.
It was their third time and everything, third go-round and stuff like that. So I think that was really interesting. And, of course, it was like a home game for UVM, even though Syracuse is not that far away. So I think it was a really cool atmosphere that we're not, you know, I don't think they'll ever host a game in Worcester again.
Well, Austin, you were at the game, so talk a little bit about what, I mean, because I'm assuming that beginning of the game, for people that are just there watching the game, it's like, okay, here's Syracuse, and here's this, who are these guys from Vermont?
Yeah.
But as the game goes on, and if you've watched documentations on this game, and there are some that are out there you can find, that you could just see that the building started to turn, and it became one of the more intense situations that the program's ever seen.
Hey, absolutely. I think, it was close early, ugly a little bit. I think it was 23-19 at halftime. Where I was sitting was in like the Syracuse section, and so I was surrounded by people wearing orange, and they were all pretty smug. And at different points, like during breaks and play, they were talking about like brunch reservations and like being there for the whole weekend because they planned to be there for the second game and what they were going to do the day between the games. And just like classic power school, like, you know, it made it feel even better after, you know, they were stunned in overtime with the Sorrentine dagger. All these people that were just, they just in their head, they'd booked themselves through the weekend, and they were scrapping those plans as they were walking out of the stadium. Meanwhile, the rest of the arena, you know, those chants built throughout the game. UVM,
yep.
UVM, and you watched like the I think it was 3 seconds to go in regulation. Mopajila had the baseline drive that looked like he won it, and so like I'm freaking out, and then You know, it's like, wait. They reviewed it, and like, actually, he stepped out of bounds. It's like, oh, was that the chance? And then it goes to OT, and it's still close. And then Sorrentine does what he does. I don't know if we want to play that sound right now. I think everybody wants to hear that sound always.
Yep.
Vance Jennings. UVM. Let me tell you once again, comes down to fundamentals.
Oh! My goodness! Sorrentine hit that one from the parking lot!
And comes down to fundamentals.
And one of the cool things about that, we've had TJ on the show a few times. Obviously, Coach was here, and I loved asking Coach about this because Coach was setting a play up. So the storyline goes, and I mean, it may not be verbatim, but if I remember it correctly, Coach Brennan's trying to get him set up to run a play. TJ says, yeah, I got this. 1 second later, dribbles, takes one, you know, steps up and hits this unbelievable shot. You know, Coach Brennan made a joke about it, saying, like, it was the best decision I made was just letting him do what he had to do. Like, he wasn't even paying attention to me at that point. But what a moment for the program and an iconic moment for the NCAA tournament as well. I mean, it was one of the biggest upsets, I would say, arguably one of the biggest ever in the tournament, besides the one UMBC had over Virginia, which is obviously the biggest. I mean, that's one of the biggest moments in NCAA basketball history, and the Catamounts own that.
Yeah, historically, they kind of share it with Bucknell, because Bucknell beat Kansas that same night, I think.
Yeah, I know, but I think when you look at a program like Bucknell and Vermont, where Vermont was at that point, I know Vermont was kind of the darlings of the mid-majors, better than low mid-majors, but when you look at this program overall and you know where they came from, you know, I mean, Coach Brennan's story, to me, is an amazing story. Like, that was... It was like the fulfillment of all the hard work that Coach Brennan had put in, the program where it had been forever, all the star players Vermont had, and then finally this one group of kids. And not only are you beating somebody special, you're beating Syracuse, you know, who had just won a championship. So yes, Bucknell won against Syracuse or beat Kansas that year as well. But you look at Bucknell a little bit differently than I think you look at a team like Vermont. Am I right or wrong on that?
So I think in hindsight, it adds up that way because... as you just described, UVM's story at that time, it was this incredibly tight and neat and compelling story arc with all these pieces that sort of worked to this point, and then they pulled it off with an iconic moment, whereas, you know, Bucknell, they'd been good. They were on the cusp of the top 25 that year. They fell off. They ended up beating number 3 Kansas as a 14 seed, and then the next year, I think they were a 9 seed, and beat an 8 seed in the first round as well. So, like, they kind of had a longer tail on what that upset had started. And they'd kind of come out of nowhere. Like, Vermont had more or less come out of nowhere in those 3 years, where Bucknell being the Patriot League is a little better than America East anyway. So that all sort of adds up.
And those Vermont kids, nobody recruited them. I mean, Coppenrath came out of Barnett, Vermont, and TJ Sorrentine was supposed to be an undersized guard that could shoot. It wasn't like these guys are being highly recruited, right? Mopajula wasn't highly recruited. This is just a bunch of guys that came together right moment. You know, they developed unbelievably and had this iconic moment. I can't imagine even to me. I mean, I guess the UMBC being a 16 beating a 1 is an amazing story in itself as well.
Oh, yeah.
But nowadays, you almost can see that happening more than you could 10 years ago, right? I feel like a low mid-major can beat a top 25 team or a top 5 team more routinely than it happened back then. I feel like it's a bigger deal back then just based on the where the talent was in the country.
I don't disagree with that because the best players in the country go to the NBA.
Alex, when you reported that story on your oral history of the Syracuse upset, what were like some of your favorite things you found during that or pulled out of that?
Anytime when you talk to Coach, there's always a good story, even if it's repeated. I don't know if I have this exactly, but I think, like, didn't they go, like, after they won against Syracuse, they went to, like, a really fancy restaurant after the game in Boston?
Oh, yeah.
I just think it's probably stuff like that. I think that you mentioned it already, Jeff, about like TJ kind of waving off Coach and just deciding to take the shot. There's some off the record stuff there that is pretty interesting.
between TJ and Coach. I just think, like, the moment itself, you know, still kind of, it still lives. We're talking about, I know it's a 15-year anniversary, essentially, but it's still in the conscious of Vermont sports fans. And I think that's a moment that will live on forever. So,
we just got a text in the Town Fair Tire text line, and feel free to add those to these at 802-655-6672. You can give us a buzz as well. I don't have a name on it, but he said, I have the whole game recorded on my VHS. He goes, I'm dating my age. So, yeah, I mean, you know, it was a long time ago. VHSs were still pertinent back then. But, hey, listen, you know, Alex, just all the stuff that you've covered over the years, man, I just can't imagine, you know, that story you wrote a few years ago about this program. You know, would you put that team, as much as you've covered this team this year, would you put that 05 team, would you put this year's team kind of with that in terms of talent?
In terms of talent? Yeah, sure, but I don't think you can, like the 05 class, they went three straight years and they won, so I don't think you can touch.
True.
I think they're number one in program history, and then I think this four-year run that we just saw is number two. I don't think you, they won in the NCAA tournament. They did the thing that no one thought they could do, so I think that puts them number one. And you have Copperas, the Vermont kid, who goes from, you know, a redshirt year, his freshman year, and then he turns into one of the best players in college basketball. And then you have Coach. I mean, who doesn't love Coach? So I think that whole story makes them. And I think that's why, like, Austin called it in his column when he did this. We did those stories a couple years ago, I guess 5 years ago now.
God, we're on
there. Golden era of UVM basketball, so I don't think you can take the shine off of that. But like these last 4 or 5 years have been really amazing, and I think it's right there. And it's unfortunate because of the coronavirus that they don't get a chance to kind of close their chapter out their way. And who knows? Like, they could have won. I think we talked about this last week. Given the right matchup, you know, they had a chance to win a first round game. And the previous two times, they were right there with Purdue and Florida State. I mean, those games could have went either way.
Very true.
In the last 5 to 7 minutes. So I think it's sort of like with this group, unfortunately, it's kind of like what could have been in a way. Or, you know, if they were given that chance, that one more chance. But other than that, like they were so close against Kansas and Kentucky during the regular season. So they just sort of fall short of the 05 class. But, I mean, these last 4 years have put the program at another level. So I think that's the most important thing at this juncture.
Alex Abrami, enjoy the rest of your weekend, my friend. And thanks again for all you're doing for the community, keeping people up to date. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right.
Guy.
Free Press's Alex Abrami, the Ponch to Austin's John, the Woodstock to Austin Snoopy, or maybe vice versa. I don't know. The Chewbacca to your Han Solo. I mean, how's it roll? I mean, are you Han Solo or is he Chewbacca? Like, how's it work?
So, like, each of us, we have a Batman and Robin costume that
or
fits
Batman
us.
Or
so
perfect.
It depends on the day. We mix it up.
Speaking of superhero costumes, for Halloween, I thought it'd be funny for my niece and nephew. I got a Spider-Man costume. If you're like, you know, mid-40s and, you know, me... Like, that doesn't work. Those are, I need, like, to find, like, the, who's a superhero that can wear something baggy? You know what I'm saying? All these superhero costumes are a bit form-fitting.
Fat Thor?
Fair enough.
But then you'd have to work on the hair.
That's,
so,
yeah, I don't even have that.
But
so.
Before we get off of the UVM Syracuse thing, the Athletic was reliving some, like, the best games on certain days during the tournament.
Yeah.
And so because the Bucknell and Vermont games happened on the same day, it was a sort of story about those two programs, how those came to be. And a great kicker at the end of the story, Kansas coach Bill Self riding in an elevator with Jim Boeheim, let that during the Final Four, neither of them were coaching a team, and they're just sort of awkwardly riding in the elevator, and Self breaks the silence and goes, you know, I bet Bucknell could beat the crap out of Vermont.
That's a good way to end this segment. Don't go anywhere.
Now, back to Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game.
Good Sports Saturday morning. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game and 101.3thegame.com. 802-655-6672 is the number to call today. 802-655-6672. Or you can text us, and we've been getting some texts this morning.
Bonjour, trolls.
Yeah, really. 802-655-6672. I wasn't able to get to those earlier because the computer was kind of acting weird, but we figured it out. So let's get to some of these texts. We'll start with Jason and Williston. Jason said, so when we were talking about the Red Sox earlier with Jen McCaffrey of The Athletic, I had mentioned that potentially, you know, look, with a shorter season, this might benefit a team that was supposed to be not very good. If they start out strong early, you hang out for a while, you put some pressure on some people, you have some things happen. In baseball, we know this can happen. You can go from worst to first very quickly. So, you know, I have no idea what's going to play out. But so Jason wanted me to say, stop being foolish. This isn't going to benefit the Red Sox. They are a rebuilding franchise with an awful farm system. You are correct that they're a rebuilding franchise. You are correct that their farm system isn't very good. But we are in uncharted territory here if we start the season in June or end of June. And a team that comes out slow and it falls way behind, it's going to be hard. There's not as many games to come back and be successful. And so if you're a Red Sox fan, and I'm not, but if you're a Red Sox fan, hang your hat on the fact that there might be some potential here, maybe, if you start the season off strong. And then he also mentioned about the Patriots situation and Brady leaving. You know, I truly did not believe he was going to leave. Based on everything I had seen on Tom Brady and what he represented and who he was, I just felt like, you know, he wanted to end his career with New England. That maybe he and Belichick walk out together and that all this these stories about, you know, what's happening financially wasn't going to, you know, he'd stay. So again, he wrote, you didn't think this was going to happen because your head's been buried in the sand for the last 12 months. Maybe it was. Yeah, maybe it was. But in my professional opinion, not that it's professional opinion, my personal opinion, based on what you've seen of Tom Brady for his whole career and what he wants to do in his career, at least what I deemed, yeah, I felt like the best place for him to win was New England. His relationship with ownership was obviously very strong, or what I deemed was strong. That it would work its way out like most things do with superstar athletes like Tom Brady, but it didn't happen.
I will admit there was some denial involved. I'm still kind of in denial. I haven't allowed myself to feel the feelings about this yet. It seems hard to imagine a guy who had 20 years of success leaving like that. That is a hard thing for a fan base to fathom, I think.
Well, I just think again, we have no inside knowledge here. And we have as much knowledge as Jason does from Williston, except maybe we get to talk to some people that are in the know once in a while. And even the people that were in the know early in this process, even with everything that's gone down, you know, you just feel like organizations can figure out a way to make it work financially for the player if they want to do it.
Yeah.
And I remember Derek Jeter's last contract and thinking, people saying, oh, he's going to leave, and the Yankees found a way to get it done. Now, it was not a very team-friendly contract Jeter signed, and it didn't help the Yankees down in terms of the last couple years of his contract. But you just felt like Brady was one of those guys. And I've said numerous times that there are a handful of athletes in our society, and Tom Brady's one of them, that you think you figure it out just because it's Tom Brady. Jeter's one. I think Ortiz is one with the Red Sox. But Tom Brady is one of the iconic players in our world here.
Yeah.
And the only thing I could compare this move to is when Montana left San Francisco. But that was different because they had Steve Young waiting.
I think it's slightly different, and maybe a similar comparison would be the idea of when Jordan retired. Sure. After 98.
Yep.
And you thought he was done, like to see him playing for the Wizards.
But that happened
I know there was a year and a half, 2 years away.
Right. Right.
And he wasn't going, but it was
almost weird.
It's kind of the same thing. Sure. You could say pretend Brady, you know, had an injury or whatever, and then ends up back with a different team, and you're watching playing for, a random team. Sure. And it's just like, really?
Michael leaving, and Michael left for 2 years. And so, you know, Michael, you know, winning, even though I think Jordan is, his play was still a different level than Brady's is right now at the NFL, no question. But what I'm saying is, I don't know if there's anything that prerequisites this.
Yeah.
With what Brady means to that organization, what he's meant to the game of football. You put Tom Brady's name with Michael Jordan. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of superstar athletes you wouldn't put with Michael Jordan, but he's one of them. And what he's meant to that organization and what he could still do for the organization, I believe, with the right players around him and if everybody's healthy, I really am shocked that he's going to be playing in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I think what I was trying to equate with Jordan is you identify one player so directly and distinctly with a specific franchise, a specific jersey, and to see that change.
Right.
And to think, you know, how much he had done for that specific jersey, that franchise, things he had sacrificed and achieved, and to then just sort of throw your hands up and, okay, we're done.
Jason from Wilson just said again, Manning leaving the Colts is a comparable situation. No, it's not. No, it's not. And Manning was an iconic player as well, but nobody was the winner like Tom Brady was. I mean, he just isn't the winner that Tom Brady is. Tom Brady is, whether you like him or hate him, whether you think he's great or not, he is the greatest winner in the history of the NFL. The greatest winner, period.
Manning had injury concerns.
Of course.
At that stage of his career.
And at this point in time, he had enough gas left in the tank after that point that there are people who remember him almost more in a Broncos jersey, which is weird to think, but it's true.
Yeah. And you might be right there. I don't put Manning in, Manning, great quarterback, Hall of Famer, I get it. And you know, went to Super Bowl with the Colts and made the Colts relevant, fine. But 20 years with the New England Patriots, Tom Brady was the standard bearer, the guy that held the torch for what every other organization was looking for in their quarterback. And the fact that after this particular season, it's over now, and he's going to be wearing the Tampa Bay Bucs uniform, it just, to me, is unprecedented to me. So, yes, with all the storylines that were out there, all the media coverage that said he was going, how could you not, you know, yeah, was my head in the sand? No, my head wasn't. I was looking straight forward, but I just felt at the end of the day, the New England Patriots, Bob Kraft and Bill Belichick, would figure out a way, and Tom Brady would figure out a way to keep him in New England for these last 2 years of his career, and they'd go after one more ring. Yeah. That's what I expected to happen, and I am straight shocked that it didn't.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, man.
Typical Homer is disgusting. I'm not a Giants fan. I'm not a Homer, man. I'm a Giants fan. I mean, I have no. I'm just being as honest with you as I can be.
Going back to what you were saying, or what we were talking about earlier with the Red Sox, and like, you know, or trade the Red Sox for any pick a team,
sure,
that you don't think has what it takes as constituted to make a playoff push. In a shortened season, weird stuff can happen. I was thinking, I was trying to think who the Spurs beat when they won their first championship in 99, the lockout shortened NBA season that year. And so the Spurs were very good. In a 50-game NBA season, they went 37-13. The team they beat in the finals, the New York Knicks, were 27-23 during the regular season. They were just good enough to make it.
Oh, right. You're talking about the Red Sox situation potentially with the...
Yeah.
Sure.
Like, it could happen.
Sure. Well,
I have a comparison. I'm not comparing this player to Tom Brady, but comparing the weirdness of them in a new jersey. Karl Malone is a Laker. Like, after his whole career as a Jazz, to see him in a Lakers jersey is weird.
I'm going to tell you something. You can say that. You can give me any name you want. And I would say what Austin brought up about Jordan in a Wizards uniform is the only comparison that I can find out of every athlete we've had in the last 25, 30 years that I would say is just weird that Tom Brady's going to be wearing a different uniform. Tom Brady is a different animal here, guys. This is the iconic athlete of the last 20 years and the most important in the most popular sport in America is the NFL. And Tom Brady's been the guy, whether you like him or you don't like him. And I'm not a homer, Jason. I get it. Like, I'm not a homer. I'm a Giants fan. I'm so sick of seeing the Patriots successful. That stupid horn they play that I have to listen to during playoff games. You know, I'm sick of listening to the AC/DC,
the AC/DC
song that plays before the kickoff. I'm so sick of watching Patriot playoff games, but I can see greatness. I know greatness when I see it, and that's Tom Brady.
I've missed that horn.
And the fact that he decided with where he is at is his career, where the Patriots still could be with some health and with Bill Belichick, I'm just shocked that he moved. I just am.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you can even compare. I see what you're saying with the mailman.
It's weird.
It was definitely different to see him in a Laker uniform. But Carl the Mailman Malone, as great as he is, one of the great NBA players of all time, is not Tom Brady in terms of who he is and what he means. And the fact that he made this decision, again, you can see why. I mean, look at this contract. But when you look at what Tom Brady did his whole career, contract friendly, everything that you had heard from some of these people was he was mad at the Patriots because he didn't have much say in who they were bringing in. And now he's going to an organization, he's going to get paid, he's got a lot of weapons, and maybe they'll be successful. I have no idea. I don't even care. I just think the story with the Patriots is an interesting one right now. I think it's really interesting.
Are we too fired up to get into sports movies now or no?
No, we only have a couple minutes
just really
left.
Quick, is Jerry Rice in a Raiders jersey weird enough for you?
That's close.
I think that's pretty good.
Say that one more time.
Jerry Rice in a Raiders jersey.
There you go. Now that's pretty crazy. That coming from San Francisco and doing, but that's just because he went to the Raiders from San Francisco. All right, let me just end with Jason, because Jason, we love your Texas man, so keep him coming. We love you, and I agree with you. It's good to have your opinions, and I'm fair. But he just finished with who works at a Patriots branded radio station. I get why you guys need to paint everything in them in good light, but you got to tone it down a bit.
I'm actually pretty glum about it.
All we're saying here, and I'm just going to finish, and you can make your point as well. All I'm saying here is I work here one day a week. All I'm saying is, to me, it was shocking that an organization like the Patriots that Brady would leave that organization and that the organization would allow it to happen. I just felt like towards the end, it was obvious that they had just gone other directions and he was gone.
Right.
I'm literally shocked at that. But it has nothing to do with us being a Patriot station or that we put the Patriots on the air here or we're in a New England fan base area. This is just my personal opinion. I think Tom Brady is in the same conversation with Michael Jordan, Babe Ruth. You know, pick the great athletes of different generations. I think Brady's in that. He's got to be mentioned in that.
Yeah, he's the body of work, and that's why I think I was shocked too. Like you can hear the signs or whatever. You can see the signs in hindsight that might be like, oh, okay. So like, turns out Jeff Darlington wasn't, you know.
And good for Jeff Darlington, too, because he took so much smack online and on social media. Good for Jeff Darlington.
But, like, you add up these conflicting reports with a body of work that adds up to a few certain things where, like, you know, Tom Brady, like, he was part of the team. He was for the team. He did you add all that up and you think the Patriots probably want to do right by him. And then they went different ways.
Yeah. Well, we do have a couple minutes left, and the segment was supposed to be about great sports movies. So we have a few minutes. So favorite sports movies? Let's go.
So yeah, we did a feature on the Free Press this week. My pick for sports movie was Caddyshack, because it's not only the best golf movie, it's the best comedy ever made.
I have to say that's in my top three. But I think the greatest sports movie ever made, and I try to show this to my soccer team once in a while, and they're always like, "Oh my god, coach, turn this off! It's so boring." Is Hoosiers.
Hoosiers
to me is one of the best. I love that movie. And then I put, in terms of comedies too, I think another one that's really underrated, no one talks about, is Slapshot. The 70s movie with Paul Newman. That Slapshot movie was great. And I think Major League was really great. So my top four.
Bob Uecker in Major League.
Oh my God. Unbelievable. So my top four for me that I love, no particular order, Hoosiers, Caddyshack, Slapshot, and Major League. The original Major League.
Yeah. I think in that list, I would throw... Miracle is pretty darn good to rewatch.
Oh, that's a great one, too. That's definitely top five. I'm with you.
That's hard to deny. Remember the Titans.
Great movie, yep.
Great soundtrack, great story. Doesn't hew very closely to real life. One of my first jobs at a college was, I was covering T.C. Williams, the high school, and the football team that hasn't won a state championship in forever. But that's the school in Remember the Titans. A lot of that, like in the movie, isn't really very faithful to real life, but the movie and the story itself is really compelling, and it still holds up. I mean, Denzel, you're seeing like Ryan Gosling before he's Ryan Gosling, all these different guys, and you're like, wow.
Okay. And the other one that I love is all the Rocky movies are unbelievable. And I will say, you just mentioned the great soundtrack with Remember the Titans. Mm-hmm. There is not a more motivating soundtrack in all of sports movies.
Oh, that's the greatest montage music ever.
Than Rocky's, than the Rocky when he beats the Russian. That whole soundtrack of the Rock, is it Rocky 4 when he beats the guy
Ivan
from Soviet?
Drago.
Yeah, Drago. That whole, I mean, I love that whole soundtrack. You put that soundtrack on, it just gets you jacked up. Like, do yourself a favor, YouTube the soundtrack, is it Rocky 4?
Yeah.
I think it was Rocky IV. Greatest soundtrack of all time.
I rewatched the movie a few years ago.
I love it.
It didn't hold up very well.
You didn't like it?
It was really, like, I remembered watching it as a kid and thinking that was the best one. And then I rewatched it a couple years ago. I was like, it's really uneven. There's like, it leans on montages for several minutes. I'm not against montages, but it was really stilted. I was like, one movie we haven't mentioned yet, Rudy.
Oh, great. Another classic.
That still gets me
at
the end.
Yep.
I get emotional and he's so little.
Exactly. His buddies. That movie's really close to me because that was my grandfather's favorite. That and it was a Yankees movie about Lou Gehrig back in the 30s.
It
was called Pride of the Yankees.
Yes.
That is my grandfather. He's obviously passed away now. My grandfather. That was his favorite movie, but he loved Rudy. I remember watching that with him many times. So Rudy is obviously high on our list as well. So, hey, real quick, D-Mac from Essex Jones said Survivors, Eye of the Tiger, and the Hearts on and Hearts on Fire. So, Eye of the Tiger was the one, I think that was the, that came, that didn't come out, and that was one of the first, that was the second Rocky.
That's when
he fought Mr. T, was Eye of the Tiger.
Was it? Okay.
I think I might be wrong, but Hearts on Fire, that's part of that. So, Dan, you're absolutely right on that one, buddy. That Rocky IV soundtrack is unbelievable. All right, we are going to take a quick break, and when we come back, my boy Aaron Wells, coming over the cold and all that he has, does Hot or Not. Don't go anywhere.
You better crank up that AC because Sports Saturday is about to bring the heat. It's Hot or Not on 101.3 The Game.
This week,
this is Hot or Not and is brought to you by Superb Cupcakes in Williston. Stop by Superb Cupcakes in the Taft Corner Shopping Center in Williston for the best cupcakes around. They will not disappoint, offering over 100 flavors of regular and mini cupcakes, and they're made from scratch daily. There's no box mix at Superb, so make your day superb.
And let me just say, they are open today at 11 to 6, so they're open right now, and they are closing at 6. And I was going to wait till the next segment to bring it up, but this is the time that we're in is unprecedented for all people, business owners, employees, people that work at restaurants and bakeries like Superb Cupcakes in Williston. Look, there's nothing better than one of their cupcakes. And if you're looking to pick yourself up, you know, you're basically sitting in your house, you can't go anywhere, nothing's open, swing into Superb Cupcakes, grab yourself a few cupcakes for the family, maybe one or two for you. You're helping out an amazing business locally, and you're going to thank yourself when you get home.
Or two for the ride home before you bring them to the family, no one's the wiser.
Exactly true. And this time of year, you're allowed to eat whatever you want anyway. People just do what they want. So get yourself some cupcakes at Superb Cupcakes. You're really going to like it.
All right. Adding Tom Brady makes the Buccaneers Super Bowl contenders.
Hot. I totally think so. I mean, this is a football team that, you know, with a couple breaks this last season with Jameis Winston, they would have been a playoff team.
But by a couple breaks, you mean like 10 less interceptions?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They were in. I mean, I don't have it in front of me in terms of how many games that they were in or successful that could have won, but they were in a lot of games. They've got a tremendous running game. They've got some of the best wide receivers in the league. Their defense is up and coming, and I love Bruce Arians as a coach, and you bring Tom Brady in there. And who else? Listen, there could be more coming to the Bucks as well. So we're going to try to work on getting a Bucks writer in here next week. I almost had one today, but he couldn't do it. But I don't think there's any reason to think coming out of the NFC that the Bucks couldn't do it. No question.
What do you got?
Fewer turnovers makes such a massive difference on offense. Like seriously, there is something to be said for the fact that you can throw as many touchdowns as you want. If you match it with turnovers, your team's going to struggle.
Jameis Winston last year threw for 5,100 yards,
yeah,
33 touchdowns, and 30 interceptions in 16 games. Getting anywhere closer to one interception a game from two is going to be incredible difference for them. And meanwhile, Tom Brady, he had 8 interceptions last year, and that felt like a bad year for him.
And it's like amazing. Jeff said, Bruce Arians did a really good job in Arizona for years. He's a very, very good coach.
Right, he's a tremendous coach. And I got to say, I bet you Brady's kind of looking forward to this a little bit, right? The guy, this is going to be the last ride. He gets to throw it around. I think he's going to have a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm right there with you.
And he's going to be in Tampa. It's beautiful down there.
And
weather's
also
perfect.
What a better state to make, 50, potentially $9 million in with no sales tax. Income tax, sorry.
That's very true. And a great stadium. I actually went to see the Giants play there a few years ago. What a great stadium. A lot of fun.
Okay.
Good place.
All right. Jason Tatum is the new face of Boston sports now that Tom Brady's out.
Yeah. He's the next thing for that. Like the current and next star for the city of Boston teams. I think we were talking about a couple weeks ago, who's the face of the Red Sox. Without Mookie, we don't really have one. The Bruins, like, okay, Marshawn, but like those dudes wear helmets and it's a little different. Patriots, who's the face of the Patriots? Edelman, maybe, but like Jason Tatum is on the verge of becoming one of the three or four best players in the NBA, full stop. So I think it definitely is him.
In a matter of 2 months, the city of Boston has lost some amazing athletes. Think about this for a second. I mean, the superstar athletes that were playing for the Red Sox and the Patriots, and now they're gone. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I'm even going to go back to like when Gronk retired. I mean, all these big name guys that you looked at and you kind of put a star around them. So I'm hot on that. I think Tatum is a guy that's looked at nationally as the next big thing. I think he's got the personality to be dynamic in a city like Boston. And obviously, the city of Boston is going to be looking for a guy that they can kind of hang their hat on. I think Tatum's that guy. Yeah, I agree.
For sure.
Tom Brady should not wear number 12 in Tampa.
I'm hot on that. I think you got to do what Montana did. Didn't Montana wear 17 for Kansas City? Didn't wear 16?
Was it 17 or 19?
19. That's exactly right. It was 19. You're absolutely right about that. So he didn't wear. He kind of turned it around, right? It looks like the upside down six for that. But I don't know. I would go to Tampa and be a different number. I would. I wouldn't wear the same number. I don't think you should. But it looks like there's an article in the New York Post this morning that is who wears 12 for the
Chris Godwin.
Yeah, Godwin said that he would give it to Brady, but he'd have to get something in return for it. So we'll see how that plays out.
He'll probably get about 12 touchdown passes. Like, okay, that seems like a good change for me. I think it makes sense. Like, but also at the same time, he's TB12. Like,
oh yeah, he's TB12. Like, I forgot about that.
I don't think that's changing.
TB11 doesn't work. TB13.
With Chris Godwin being willing to give it up, it's almost a guarantee that he'll wear 12. But I think anything that helps me continue to live in denial and pretend that Tom Brady retired or something is good. And I think him wearing a different number would help.
And if you think about it in terms of, you know, marketing, it might be good for TB to pick another number, right? I mean, there's already a TB12's been there, done that. Now we can have a TB, you know, 14. I mean, you can't wear, I don't think 13's number. I don't like the number 13 on a quarterback. It makes you look slow. I think you got to have I like the low number. I think like an 8 or a 7.
So you're saying 12 or below?
Yeah, I'd go lower than 11. Even I feel makes you look. 11's all right, but when you get to 13 or 14,
11's a prime number. So like it makes you seem faster. Yeah. I think
15 is I'm not saying it because of what's going on in Kansas City, but I think 15's a good number on a quarterback.
Yeah,
16's but once you get to 17, 18, 19, I feel like it makes you look slow. This is how I feel. 13, 17, 18, and 19. I feel like you look slow.
I can't think of a quarterback number 13 right now.
Kurt Warner wore 13.
Oh, yeah. You know, not fast.
No. I think my problem is that Dave Brown for the Giants wore 13. I think he wore 13. Did he wear 13?
Scarred.
I'm just like burnt over that.
Yeah. Well, we know another Giant who wore 13 too. You know, Odell.
ODB. Yeah, well, he was pretty quick, so I can't, I guess.
Yeah,
I guess
but you hate him.
I don't hate him. He annoys me. I have to say, Sam from Plattsburgh just texted on the Town Fair Tire text line. Gronk was pretty good on SmackDown last night. Is Gronk wrestling now?
Yeah. Isn't that wild?
Oh my God.
That seems good for his body.
I was going to say, you retire for your health and then you don't play a really dangerous sport.
I mean, is Rob Gronkowski's living his best life. I mean, he really is.
I think he always has.
I mean, I know, but like even in retirement, the guy is everywhere.
Oh, he
I
can't mean, retire.
My goodness, unbelievable. I didn't realize he was wrestling. Is he going as Gronk? Does he make up? Does he have a different name?
I have no idea.
Is he just Rob Gronkowski in this corner?
Maybe Sam can help us with that information.
Yeah, Sam, if he's a different name, let us know. I'd love to know what is, he's not like, Hulk Hogan and, Kamal the Ugandan Giant, which is my favorite of all time, by the way. Stone Cold Steve Austin. The Gronk's got to have something. Can't just be, Rob Gronkowski, Gronk. Maybe it could just be the Gronk.
Yeah.
Who knows? All right.
Between relatively few moves upward in free agency, losing several free agents, and losing notably Tom Brady, the Patriots have already announced with their actions they are going into rebuild mode.
Go ahead, boss. You can take this one first.
They're not in we're contending right now mode.
I guess
by that you have to say they're trending closer to rebuild mode. But I think, as we talked about earlier in the show, if you're quote unquote rebuilding with Bill Belichick, you're probably a leg up or two legs up on any other team that's trying to rebuild. So we'll see where that leaves us.
Yeah, I'm going to say not right now. I mean, my dad texted me when we were talking about this earlier, and he said, what if they move up and try to get Tua? What if they trade up to try to get one of the top?
Give me Joe Burrow. Let's go. I mean, I'm saying that a couple months ago.
What if that happens? As long as Bill Belichick is there, and the fact that Bill Belichick, obviously, I'm sure he had huge input in terms of Brady not being there, there's no way they're in rebuild mode. They are going to be the most intriguing story of the NFL season for me. I just can't wait to see what Belichick does.
I really want Joe Burrow.
And let me just say, I'm not
mobile,
a homer.
Accurate. He does, I love it. Everything I saw this year from him, I loved it.
Oh, did you hear, so Joe Burrow was interviewed and they asked him how many of his touchdowns that he threw he knew were going to be touchdowns, and he said half.
What would they have to give? What would they have to get up, though, to get the number one pick?
That's I don't know, but I like
everything.
They take the next 5 year number one picks?
Yeah, I don't know. But
it's very New Orleans Saints of you if you do that when they tried to get Ricky. Remember when Dick did that to get Ricky Williams?
That didn't go well.
He destroyed the New Orleans future for like 6-7 years. But they traded up to get that pick to get Ricky Williams.
Yeah.
And they lost top draft picks for years. But
the Vikings did that too to get, you know,
we'll see what happens.
From the Cowboys in the 90s.
Herschel Walker.
Yep.
Yep.
Well, what that Herschel Walker trade, that's right. He traded to Minnesota. He put all those paid trick, they trade out all those picks to, that's right. That's another great one. Mm-hmm. That Herschel Walker trade was not good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Ken from White River's right. He says the Patriots don't have the assets to trade up for Burrows or Tua, which is absolutely true.
Well, that's not true either. I mean, if you want to offer somebody that's, you know, maybe the next 3 year first round picks, that's not true at all. You definitely have the ability to do that. Teams would jump on that in a heartbeat. I promise you that the New York Giants would trade up with the Patriots. We'll give you our next 3 year first round picks plus blah 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 blah. Whatever.
Yeah, I don't think it's inconceivable.
I don't either. I mean, I think because that's what these teams want is they want draft picks. You can get a lot. You may not have the personnel to trade for a pick like that,
right?
But you absolutely have the draft picks.
And
to trade.
If Belichick likes any either Tua or Burrow or whomever that much, I wouldn't be surprised if he did it. Because okay, so you're going to wait for who's coming next year that's going to be as good or better, or do you feel that good about Stidham? We don't know.
So. Yeah, I mean, I think it's, well, the kid coming out of Clemson will be out next year.
Oh, Trevor Lawrence. Oh,
so
yeah,
Trevor Lawrence might be the kind of guy.
But
that could
he
be,
position himself that way in the draft to get?
But could
Lawrence?
But could the Patriots if they have a poor year and end up having like say they have like the eighth pick in the draft? Then could you put something together to get that Lawrence
maybe,
pick
yeah.
if you get to that point? Jan from Underhill just texted from the Town Fair Tire text line: losing the Patriots' new normal.
Whoa.
That's coming from a Jets fan, though.
He's just coming to kick us over down.
That's his typical Jets fan.
I hope Jan liked that episode about the season of Curb Your Enthusiasm where the Jets featured heavily. I'll just say that. The Jets killed a guy.
Ken from Whitewiver says that they could possibly get Justin Herbert. I've heard that name tossed around a bit. I don't know how good he is.
I have no idea who Justin Herbert is. I'm sorry. I don't know
who
that guy is.
He's from Oregon, maybe?
Oh, the Oregon quarterback?
I don't know.
I think if you are Bill Belichick, I think if you're a Patriot fan today, and let me just say, not being a homer, Jason, I'm not a Patriot fan or could care less what they do, but I would say I would just sit back and relax and see what Belichick does. That's what I would do. I think you got the best coach in the world. I think he's the best coach of all time, and we'll see how this plays out.
So I just went back to Football Reference. Jameis Winston, 30 interceptions this year. Tom Brady, in the last 4 years, has 29.
So what you're saying is Tampa has an upgrade at quarterback.
Yeah, I think so.
All right, we're going to take... Did you want to add something there, buddy?
No, I just said whoa.
Oh, whoa. All right. We're going to take a quick break and tie a bow on the show. Thanks for listening, everybody. Everybody, we'll be right back.
I hate to say it, but the show is almost over. But before we go, we'll get the Brass Monkeys bumping and get you ready for your sports weekend. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game.
Garage poll question today. Green City Garage located at 49B Commerce Ave, Unit 5 in South Burlington, 802-651-9299. Go see my buddy Chris Wallace over at Green City Garage. The poll question today is this, and you could have gone there today on 101.3 The Game on Twitter. With Brady moving to Tampa Bay and with no real experience at the quarterback position, should the Pats be in rebuild mode? Austin, what did the public say?
We got 66.7% saying yes, they should go into rebuild mode. 33.3% say no. That's a 2-1.
Well, listen, I say no. I say just, you know, you can rebuild and win in the NFL. I mean, the NFL is so average. Everybody in the league is average. You can still be successful, but Patriot fans are good for the rebuild. I'm going to tell you, I can't wait. I mean, listen, this is terrible for me to say, but I can't wait. If the Patriots are bad and all these Patriot fans are saying, oh, it's going to be so fun to see how this plays out, you know, we can start seeing these young players. By mid-November, mid-October, you guys are going to be beside yourselves. You are going to be beside yourselves when you start feeling the wrath that we've been feeling for years as Giant fans.
I'm not excited to see the kids play.
Maybe it won't be that bad.
I'm not among them.
I'm mortified.
There's nothing worse in the winter for someone that dislikes the winter as much as I do when your team stinks. And that's what's going to happen. That could happen with the Patriots.
Yeah, I wouldn't know what I'd have done the last 17 or 18 Januarys and Februarys.
Isn't it cool? Think about that, right?
Yeah. Well, January,
I mean, it's exciting.
January is already the worst month. You take away football and all of a sudden.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you might have to feel the wrath that that every other fan base in the league has dealt with in the last 20 years. Not you two. You two elitists over here. Football elitists.
I mean, part of the joy of watching Tom Brady is the clockwork that he was human clockwork for, you know, dependability and skill. And, you know, like, just he was the man, and he's gone, and I need to unfollow him.
Hey, guys, listen, thanks for listening today. We are Sports Saturday, the other local show on this station every Saturday from 10 to noon. I do want to say before we go, and I'm sure that everybody in here, this room, will parrot what I'm saying here, but buy local now, folks. There's so many businesses and restaurants that are changing what they do on a daily basis to try to help their customers, number one, but their employees, most importantly. I know so many business owners in the Colchester area, the Williston area, Burlington, Essex, everywhere in our community, South Burlington, all communities are trying to come together this very difficult time. So if you have the opportunity and can get delivery or get pickup from your local favorite restaurant, do so. Check in on them. Make sure you're communicating with them. And just understand that this is a tough time for everybody, especially when you have to be or work from home or be home. But for these people that work in these industries, these restaurant industries, the owners of restaurants and these people that work in these restaurants, this is a very scary time because it may not be income for them. So remember to buy local. There's so many great restaurants around here in this area. We are so blessed that we have these people still working for our communities. Check them out and help them out in any community that you're listening to. So keep it right here for the rest of the day. We got stuff happening. You can still listen to talk radio, right? I mean, that's the beautiful thing about talk sports radio, is you can keep it on here at 101.3 The Game and listen to everybody else that's talking about whatever's going on in their communities and their worlds. Stay safe, stay smart, take care of yourself. We'll see you next Saturday.